Hello and welcome to Beyond the Back Page on Near FM with myself, Patrick Donoghue. On the show today, I'll be joined on the line by ultra runner Jonathan Cairns. Jonathan only began running when he was 46, but credits running with transforming his life. He's recently released a book entitled The Plant-Based Runner, A Personal Guide to Running, Healthy Living and Discovering a You. And I'm delighted to say that Jonathan is on the line. Jonathan, how are you this evening?
I'm very good, Patrick. Thank you very much.
No worries, sir. Thanks for coming on, first of all.
I'm delighted.
So, Jonathan, just give us a background. What gave you the motivation to start running?
Well, that goes back about 10 years ago when I was 46. I was in a place where, I suppose like a lot of people are, I couldn't run. I didn't think of running. I didn't think of exercise. It wasn't even on my radar.
Yeah.
And the way my life was at that time, I'd gone through a separation. I was only seeing my kids when the judge said I was seeing them. And I realized that I actually saw a photograph of myself and I thought, oh my goodness, that's me. And I realized that I didn't want to be the kind of dad that watched the kids from the window. Like, I wanted to be out there playing chasing and, you know, doing all the silly stuff kids love. So it was when I saw that first photograph that I actually saw myself, I think for the first time, and I got a shock. And I thought, okay, if this isn't good enough reason to start getting into shape and to start feeling better, you know, what is?
Yeah, and at the start, how tough did you find, because starting off on anything, how tough did you find it starting out running?
Well, incredibly tough to tell. I mean, I can't really tell you how hard it was,
right?
Because at the time I couldn't run for a bus.
Yeah.
So I had this thing where I went out at night time because I thought I looked a state and I didn't want anyone to see me. So I'd run around the block, and even that was painful for me. But I mean, it didn't last too long. Just the initial stages were severe. But I mean, I got over them. Like, I made a commitment to myself that I was going to do it 3 times a week.
Yeah.
And I slowly went from huffing and puffing, you know, stopping, starting, to being able to kind of run around the block back from my house, back to my house without stopping. That was kind of my first success.
And is that an advice you would give to people that are listening in and might be interested and thinking about starting running that might have been a similar situation to yourself back then, that just start and once you get going, things will fall in place?
It certainly is, yeah. I mean, if you're any way like me, where I thought I was past it, I thought I was too old, I thought I was too fat, I just thought it wasn't for me. So I just say, put one foot in front of the other and move. And once you do that for a couple of weeks, headspace starts to appear and just things start to feel more positive. And I just think, maybe I could actually do this.
Yeah.
Maybe I could be a slimmer version of me, you know, a clearer version and so on. And yeah, just one foot in front of the other is what it took for me. So I'd certainly recommend it.
Yeah, and how long did it take? I hear a lot of runners talk about the positive hormones emitted. How long did it take for you to kind of get this sense of well-being from running?
Well, I suppose it took me about 3 months.
Okay.
And that's what, when I got over my first kind of goal was to go, there's a 2 mile kind of run that I had from my house, run, walk, jog, and it was to do it in one go. And I felt like I had won the marathon then, when I finally did it in one go. And that's without, you know, passing out at the end or throwing up or anything. It was just to do it all in one go. I was so proud.
Yeah. And you mention marathons. Ultimately, you started running marathons. And I enjoyed a bit in the book where you talk, I think it was the Rome Marathon. You talk about the accomplishment of finishing that marathon and you rang home and one of your kids just said, did you win it? Can you tell us a little bit about that and the feeling?
Yeah, well, that was actually my first marathon, so I was so proud.
Yeah.
That when I called back to say that I just finished it, my youngest daughter said, did you win?
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, no. And she said, so what did you ring me for?
Yeah.
She just didn't didn't think that running a race was any great shakes unless you won it.
Yeah.
Nothing like kids to put you back in your box.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yeah, exactly. But running, the book is, of course, the plant-based runner, and so diet has been a major part of your life. When did the decision for you to cut out meat in your diet? When did that come about, and why did you reach that decision?
Well, that came about much later. I mean, I started this running business, running for me, like it could be anything for somebody else, but I started running about 10 years ago, if you could call it running.
Yeah.
And maybe about 2 years after that, I started to change what I ate.
Mm.
And I found then that once I was running more distances, like maybe 10 or 15 miles, that if I ate meat, like say I had a steak this evening and up to 3 days later I'd get a stitch still if I ran.
Mm.
So I kind of figured then that this meat is taking 3 days to pass through me.
Mm.
So I thought I'd try for a while not eating meat.
Mm.
And it was just how I felt once I stopped. I mean, I've eaten enough meat for the whole neighborhood, you know, like in my life.
Yeah.
So like I was a real meat eater.
Mm.
So for me to stop was quite something.
Mm.
But once I finished it, I just found that I had more energy than I've ever had.
Mm.
And so it just suited me, and it suited running, or it suited regular exercise.
Mm. And
so it then everything that I tried, and I tried lots of things, like I mean, I am celiac, so I'm not good with wheat, but I tried like all sorts of things, and if I felt better, I stayed off it. If I didn't, I went back on it.
Mm.
But meat being a big one, because I stuck by meat.
Mm.
And I still don't eat meat.
Mm. And a good part of your book is you took an awful lot of time out to research food, diet. Is that something that is very important for people, that to educate themselves about food, to see what they're putting into their bodies? You make the point education and knowledge is very important in terms of food.
Yeah, it's kind of everything.
Mm.
Because, I mean, it took me a while to realize that well, not just I am who I eat, what I eat.
Mm.
I am what I can absorb.
Yeah.
And we're all sort of different. And some things just make me feel great, and some things make me feel awful. So it's that thing that nobody is coming to save you, that I realize that whatever I eat is who I am.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I kind of had to hone it and hone it. And I mean, like still now, like I read every book I can get on diet and foods and so on, just to keep finding out, is there something else that maybe I could try or I should be doing? Because it's so difficult for everybody. I mean, if you go in, certainly when I started with all of this, I tried to buy a book to tell me what to do and what not to do.
Mm.
And there's just so much conflicting information. There's exact opposites everywhere. Mm. So it's really, really difficult. I mean, I had to do it myself to find out.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a long time.
Yeah. And going back to the running, how important is it to have a support system there? People, in terms of going running and having a buddy to go running, just to make yourself accountable to another person, because I guess it's so easy a damp evening not to go. So is it important to have another person just to kind of give you that motivation and feel that you're not letting the other person down?
Yeah, it kind of sounds simple, but it's one of the keys to like you come home from work, you know, just pick a day on a Tuesday night, and it's the winter and it's cold and it's raining and you're hungry and there's just no reason to go out that you can think of in that moment.
Mm.
So if you have somebody who you have to answer to, someone who you kind of like or respect and you don't want to let them down, that is massive.
Mm.
Because once you come back, I mean, inevitably you're going to feel super. But it's going out on your own is so, so difficult.
Mm.
But the key to being an accountability partner for somebody else is just to show up.
Yeah. And
so you really look after each other that way without even knowing it a lot of the time.
And has running opened up a new social element for you? Because you're meeting people that, like-minded people. So is it brilliant? You're meeting people that are in a similar events. So is that a great motivation as well?
Yeah, it's actually, but the thing about, there's no hiding in running.
Yeah.
Because when you've got to get, like in a marathon, it's 26.2 miles and there's no changing that, and you have to run it.
Mm.
You can't get a lift for one part of it or stop, or you have to do it. So everybody is responsible for themselves 100%. And everyone who you meet in running feels that way.
Mm.
So everyone is so positive. And it really kind of opens up a world of where people take full responsibility for themselves and still put themselves out there and test themselves. And it's a really nice feeling to be just around so many people that are just so motivated and positive about what they do. So yeah, it totally has. I mean, it's a super world.
Mm. And the development, you've turned to ultra running now. When did that development from turning from running from marathons and to have entered these ultra events?
Yeah, that's it's not for everybody, but
yeah,
I just wanted to try it. It was something that a friend of mine had said to me, you know, there's this marathon that goes from Dublin to Belfast one year and then Belfast to Dublin the next year. And I was thinking, that's ridiculous. Who'd want to run that?
Yeah.
And it's 107 miles. And the more I thought about it, the more I got excited about it. And I had butterflies for about a week thinking about it.
Mm.
And then one day my wife said to me, look, will you stop talking about it? Either enter it or don't. But it's made for you, that race.
Mm.
Because you get so excited every time you talk about it. So, like I say, it's not for everyone. If that sort of thing excites you, and it does me, because it just seemed absolutely impossible.
Yeah.
And I mean, at the same time, I trained for 2 years before, you know, I did something like that. But it's quite a step. And, you know, it's just incredible just to know that you can actually do pretty much whatever you want to as long as you focus on it and you train for it.
And what are you training for next? Any big runs coming up in the next few months?
Actually, there's a marathon in a couple of weeks, which is the Dusseldorf Marathon.
Oh, wow, okay.
Which is on the 28th of this month. And then after that, there is the Dublin Marathon.
Mm.
I have a whole group of friends that were running the Dublin Marathon in October. And I'm looking forward to that. The Dublin Marathon is one of the best marathons of all the marathons I've run.
Why is that?
Everybody who comes out
goodwill.
Supports you.
Okay.
And people, children, old people, everything in between. And they really support you. Like they get emotionally involved almost. And it's almost too hard to stop.
Yeah.
Because everybody is pushing you on.
Mm.
I mean, like last year I ran a marathon in Vienna.
Yeah.
And there was probably as many people on the streets.
Mm.
But not one person said a word.
Mm. Yeah.
So cultural differences, maybe. They're just very quiet. I mean, they're there for you, but they don't say anything. In Dublin, people sing, dance, scream at you, shout encouragement, and it just feels fabulous. Yeah. I mean, it's just my favourite.
Yeah. And this is an aside. I was reading at the weekend about the international interest in the marathon in North Korea. Would you ever be interested in running that marathon? It seemed to have attracted a bit of interest.
It's never crossed my radar. So I don't know, but I'm sure, I mean, if I looked into it, I certainly would. There's a lot of unusual marathons that I kind of have on my list or in different places that I'd like to go to probably first. But I'd be a bit worried about North Korea.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. And that element, in terms of you talk in the book that you've ran the Moscow Marathon, has that been another brilliant element of your running? It's got you to places and countries that you would never have seen.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, there's a group of us that run together. We're all sort of like-minded, and what we do is at the beginning of every year we pick one or two marathons abroad and we pick somewhere that none of us have ever been.
Mm.
So we kind of get a whole new thing. We get to see a new city and some get a new experience. So, I mean, it's wonderful. Like, we've been to some great places. But Moscow is one of the best.
Mm.
Everything in Moscow is different to anything we've seen before. So it was superb.
Yeah. Jonathan, that's brilliant. It's really an interesting read. The book, it's available on Amazon at the moment. At the end of the book, just to tell listeners, you've a great piece at the end of the book where you you chart your journey and you give a breakdown of where people can start from where you were at the start and bringing it right up to Marathon. And you also have delicious recipes there. So there's an awful lot in the book. And was just before I let you go, Jonathan, was that sort of a motivation in writing the book to kind of give people that might have been in a situation that were unhealthy, maybe like you back then, give them a bit of motivation and give them the value of your experience?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, what I wanted and I couldn't find when I started out, I felt kind of lost, and I didn't know where to turn, and I couldn't find a book that showed me how to do it. There were lots of things that told me how to do it, but nobody said to me this in a book, this is what I did. And that's what I was kind of looking for. And that kind of incorporated not just exercise, which was running for me, but food. And I really wanted something that was going to, you know, something that worked for somebody. And I wanted to see how it worked. So that's the kind of book that I tried to write. Now, I mean, even though this is called, you know, The Plant-Based Runner, most of it is based on the space in between, you know, sitting on the couch not knowing what to do and doing your first 5K. I mean, that's the furthest, it's the hardest and most difficult part of the whole journey. But the food is a massive part then, once I moved on from that. And then, like, it's kind of part of my life now. Like, eating well is a huge part of it.
Yeah. And you have a website. Just mentioned, you have a website. It's www.jcruns.com if anyone wants find more information. That's brilliant. Listen, Jonathan, I really appreciate you taking the time to join us today. And the best of luck in your future running.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you so much. Lovely talking to you.
That's great. That was great. That was Jonathan Kearns, who has released a e-book. It's available on Amazon, The Plant-Based Runner. Very, very interesting read. And just reading it would inspire you to get out running. So, it's a really, really interesting reading. And thanks to Jonathan for sharing his experience.